Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A lot of news to talk about on today's program, but first I want to thank friends from Indiana who came in. In fact, could somebody ask Dwayne and Melody, who's more willing to go on the air right now? Impromptu, not Melody. Okay, Dwayne, could you come in here? Could you come in the studio? I'd like you to tell that story to the audience. Yeah, good, Dwayne. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi.
Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Doing really well.
So, hey, Dwayne, you and your wife have driven in from Indiana to spend a week here in Denver with us at our ministry, Denver Bible Church. You're at the BEL studio and cabins, and thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. We like to do that. We do it every year.
Every year, a great help. And at the end of this weekend, after church, we have our church picnic. And then a bunch of us are going to caravan to Branson, Missouri for a Bible conference. That's going to be exciting.
It will be, and I think you're speaking at that conference.
This year, that's right. First time ever. This is a major Bible conference, and it's exciting because it's a brand new audience for the Denver Christian worldview, you know, coming out of Colorado Rites of Life and Denver Bible Church. So it is exciting to go to a brand new audience who knows virtually nothing about all the ministry coming out of Colorado.
Yeah, that will be really nice.
That's going to be great.
In fact, I've got another couple from Indiana are going to be there.
That's neat. We know that. We mentioned this on the show maybe a couple months ago, and couples from around the country have said, hey, we're going to go. So now it's pretty much too. I guess if somebody wanted to, they could call us and get the information for the Bible conference next week in Branson, Missouri. Coming right up. But I wanted you to tell the story that you just told me about being called to report for jury duty.
Okay, I will. But first, I remember a few years ago when the FBI and everyone was saying that violent crime was down.
Yes.
And you predicted that it was only temporary, that it would come back up.
Tragically, sadly.
Because these criminals, they're putting them in jail for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be out.
Yeah, there was a big rush to build newer prisons, expand prisons, and the inmate population in America went from 1 million incarcerated during the 90s to 2 million people behind bars. And that's a tragedy because, well, our jails are a school for criminals.
Right. And now...
So when they get out, of course, crime will start going up.
USA Today today says,
right?
Violent crime up second year in a row.
Violent crime up. What a tragedy. Violent crime up second year in a row. You know, we have made it a hobby of talking to prison guards who agree with us that we should abolish prisons and jails because they're counterproductive. They teach people how to become worse criminals. And the last time I talked to such a guard was today. He works in a prison in Pittsburgh, and it's a county jail, actually. And the time before that was last week, a woman guard from up north in Fort Collins. And there are so many guards who acknowledge that our idea of punishing criminals by putting them in jail is a huge catastrophe because it makes those people far worse than they were when they committed their crimes.
Well, you've put out a pamphlet, God's Criminal Justice System,
mm-hmm.
and I took
a syllabus to our seminar on that topic. In fact, we have that available now on the internet. God's Criminal Justice System. You could download the entire seminar audio file so you could listen to it on your iPod or your computer or your stereo, whatever.
I showed that to the sheriff at home. He said I could lay off people if we did that.
the sheriff in your county?
Yes.
Yeah, we've had a lot of friends in law enforcement from local prosecutors and investigators and judges, even a federal judge who's been a longtime friend of our family personally. In fact, his kids are just a couple years older than our kids, and maybe once every 6 months or a year, he sends us a package of clothes that his kids have outgrown. And for our kids, we have, our kids are now getting older, 6, 8, and 9 or something like that, our young ones. But we have so many in law enforcement who have loved the ministry of Bob and Yart Live because we take the biblical principles and apply them to current public policy. So, Duane, you told me right before showtime that you received a notice to report for jury duty.
Right. You want to hear about the experience, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I had a real good defense lawyer there, and I'd heard about him before, and he is good.
By good, you mean he's bad.
Right.
He's really talented.
He gets criminals off.
Right. That's what he gets paid for.
And as he was picking the jury, he was trying to put doubt in your mind, and he's really good at it. But he was asking different questions. As he went along, he asked one woman, he said that I don't remember the guy's name years ago, had said that it's better to let 100 criminals go free than to convict one innocent man. Do you agree with that? She said, oh, yeah, yeah.
And, of course, that's very evil.
Right.
You let 100 rapists go, 100 murderers go, 100 kidnappers go, then what you've done is multiplied their crimes perhaps by 5 times. So that you have so many more crimes, because not only will they recommit being emboldened, but it adds to the belief in society that crime pays and you get away with crime. So the goal of the criminal justice system should not be to err extraordinarily in favor of the criminal, but to do as best you can to go right down the middle. Right down the middle. We're imperfect. We're human beings, so we will make mistakes. Sometimes we will wrongly convict an innocent person. Other times we will let a guilty person go free. But God says in the Bible that convicting the innocent and acquitting the guilty are alike abominations to me. God says that.
Right. One of the questions he asked everyone was, are you a liberal or conservative? And then why? And there were all kinds of answers. But as he was going down the line, he asked the guy in front of me what he thought about criminal justice. He said, well, I go by God's law. And this guy, the lawyer, says, well, I'm a libertarian. And he said, I don't know much about the Bible, but isn't one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not judge? And the guy goes, yeah. And I was sitting right behind him, and I rolled my eyes, and I know he saw that.
So the Christian, presumably a Christian in the jury pool, says, well, I go by God's law. And the guy says, well, I don't know the Bible, but isn't do not judge one of the Ten Commandments? And the Christian says, yeah. Oh, brother. What a mess, right?
Right.
We are in a mess.
So when he got to me, he asked me if I was liberal or conservative. And I said, I'm very conservative. And I didn't really want to be on the jury. And I noticed that he was picking almost all the liberals.
Right. And you told me earlier, this is a pretty insignificant case. And you'd lose time at work and all. If it's a significant case, like a murder case or rape or kidnapping, child sexual abuse, those kinds of cases, I think Christians should do whatever they can to get on the jury. Very important cases. But this was not.
Well, anyway, by the time they got to me, they were picking an alternate anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when he asked me, are you liberal or conservative? I said, I'm very conservative. And he said, well, what makes you think that? I said, I think Rush Limbaugh is a liberal. And the whole courtroom broke up, judge and everybody.
Yeah, you're making me laugh, too, in the studio audience. That is funny.
So he said, so you wouldn't vote for Hillary? And I said, no, I didn't even vote for George.
Yeah, because he's too liberal. That is really funny.
So then he said, what kind of a man would you vote for president? And I said, well, I would vote for Alan Keyes.
That's pretty exciting. He's running for president right now.
I know.
AlanKeyes.com.
I know. I'm glad.
Sign the pledge. Yeah.
So then he came back and he said that I'm a libertarian and Now, you may agree with me on this, but I think the government should stay out of our lives as much as possible. And I said, no, I don't agree with you on that. I think we should have good laws and enforce them.
Whoa.
And he didn't want me.
He used a peremptory challenge, and he booted you off of the being an alternate.
Right.
Well, that's pretty neat. And it does show what a scam our court system has become, where the defense lawyer will ask people if they're Christians, if they're liberal or conservative. They'll systematically kick off the conservatives. Christians will tell the truth. Christian pro-life judges on an abortion case, they will recuse themselves. Pro-abortion judges, they never recuse themselves. In Denver, even then, when their wives are on the board of directors of Planned Parenthood, they stay on the case. And so the whole godless criminal justice system, and it is godless.
Yeah, yeah.
Today it is officially godless, just like our godless public schools. The whole system is destroying the moral foundation of America. Thank you for having the guts to say the truth in that jury selection process.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, Dwayne and Melody from Indiana. Thanks, Dwayne.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. Okay.
Oh, by the way, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we go, I know you're in the middle of a telethon.
Oh, yeah.
You do more good work than you know, and I hope people send money in to keep you going.
Wow. We've raised $5,100 toward our goal of $20,000 for our annual telethon to keep the show on the Internet. That must be how you guys listen, over the Internet.
Oh, it is.
We're on a 50,000-watt station, but we don't reach Indiana.
No, you reach a little ways into Kansas. We heard it the other day.
You just drove in listening to the show about 200 miles into Kansas.
Right.
Bob and Yurt Live comes in so that you could listen and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's exciting. Thanks, Dwayne, very much.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll continue with the show now, but it's so encouraging to me that our audience, when we say greetings to the brightest audience in the country, we're not kidding. We are not kidding. We do have the brightest audience, including Dwayne and Melody. Some of the stories that I'd like to get to today, but we're going to take another call. Our phone number here is 1-800. No, we lost our caller. All right. Okay. Okay, we'll get right to some of these stories. In the Chicago Tribune today, another mention of our protest here. Colorado Right to Life is trying to give Planned Parenthood a run for their money. We're trying to make it as difficult as possible, if not impossible, for them to build the largest abortion clinic in the country right here in Denver. They're trying to destroy a neighborhood, Stapleton neighborhood. They're trying to turn that neighborhood into a war zone. So we'll get to those quotes from the Chicago Tribune. Also, Elton John. Now, Elton John, is he known to be straight? He's not, right? I'm not a fan. I don't follow. And so I haven't thought about Elton John probably in 5 years. But he is in the news because of the child porn that he owns. You know, we have bookstores in America that love to sell child porn, and they say, oh, this is just free speech. And their picture books, photograph books, like coffee table books for your living room, filled with pictures of naked children, boys and girls, through all stages of puberty into teenagers, and our wonderful liberals, even what? The Department of Justice, the George Bush administration, they've had a war on these guys to put them out of business? No, they haven't. In fact, child porn is becoming increasingly popular around the world, and I don't mean the stuff that you get arrested for. I mean the stuff that they flaunt publicly. And so Christian friends of ours, we would go into a local bookstore, and we'd get some of these books, and I won't give the titles on the air because of the perverts who may be driving through Denver in their car radio and tuned in and listening and think, oh, I'm going to go buy that book. So I'm not going to mention the titles, but we would go to the bookstores, get the books, and rip the pages out of the book standing there in the middle of the store. We'd rip the books up, and then when we had pretty much gone through the whole stock on the shelves, then we'd call the store manager and say, we want to let you know we just destroyed these child porn books, and could you please call the police? Because we want to report you for selling child porn. Anyway, a photograph owned by Elton John has been seized by police in England. They were going to display it at an art gallery. He owns the art gallery too, apparently. And I'm not going to describe the photograph because it is utter, complete porn, sexual exploitation of a young girl. And that's what liberals, they get excited about this kind of thing, and that they can do it, and it's public, and they sell it in bookstores in America. Okay, let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Marianne, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, Bob. Thank you. The reason I'm calling in today is I'd like to know if you talk to me about a friend of mine who thinks she's going to be healed.
Yeah.
Okay. I start listening to you. My husband started listening to you when you were on TV.
All right.
Watching you on TV. And
so that was some years ago. We started on TV almost 16 years ago. So that was a long time ago. He probably saw us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we've been watching you and listening ever since.
All right.
Studying your material.
Well, that's an honor, by the way. It's humbling. Thank you.
Well,
Marianne.
It's an honor that we bumped into.
What is your husband's name?
Rich,
okay.
And he was a city fireman at the time.
All right.
And he had a lot of time at night when he had night watch, so you were on late at night in Pittsburgh.
He watched in the firehouse?
Mm-hmm.
Did the other firemen get angry?
Actually, one fireman actually still listens to you.
All right.
As a friend of ours.
All right, cool.
So that's good. The other firemen were oblivious to even getting angry anymore.
Okay.
So, anyway, and my husband was sort of tough and didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So we had another friend that was a fireman. Now, this is a third friend that was a fireman. And when I got saved, I met this couple. She was a bit older than me.
So when you became a Christian, you met this couple. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And she was into deliverance ministry.
Deliverance ministry. In other words, sort of charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll, if you're sick with cancer, maybe they'll cast out the demon of cancer or
right.
Healing ministry and demons and that kind of thing.
Oh, right. And she dragged me to every church in Pittsburgh and in the greater Pittsburgh area.
We just had two people in the studio audience volunteer to be exorcised or cured. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
They're joking, of course.
I know. So anyhow, I was pretty naive, and I really went along with all this, and I thought I was learning things from her and going along, and she was like, became a good friend. And
eventually, I'm imagining, eventually you found out it was all make-believe, it wasn't real.
Well, Rich started to watch you. We started to study you. We went to your seminars.
Well, Marianne, hopefully you studied the Bible, not me.
Oh, right, yes, yeah. Right. But okay. But I will tell you one thing.
Yeah.
When he ordered the plot, he had enough time to sit and check every scripture.
Every scripture in the plot.
In the plot. Yeah, he had that time.
The plot is my life's work, an overview of the whole Bible. It's a 330-page manuscript. It's what's kept Bob and Yart Live on the air all these years. And so many people, thousands, have thanked us because they say, now the Bible is fun to read because I understand it instead of it being a big, confusing, contradicting mystery.
Right. I just was able to tell a friend of mine the other day about how you say if you're off a little bit, go into the planet.
Yes.
You know, he understood that. He was thought he was a Christian. He understood that. He said he read the Bible through and didn't understand it. I said, well, it's a plot. There's a plot. And I just, you know, sort of told him what I had learned. And he actually understood me for a change. Someone understood me. But I'm not good at explaining everything. But my friend, she really resented the fact that I was learning. I said, you know, Priscilla, we have a new, there's something wrong. I said, if we're doing this thing wrong, you got to listen, you got to learn, you got to read what Rich said. And she was very good friends with my husband.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to run out of time, Marianne.
Okay.
You got to get
anyhow,
to the punchline.
Well, anyhow, she's going to make a long story short,
yeah.
And that's the problem with me.
Well, wait, Marianne, it's too late for that, but go ahead, finish the story.
Okay, 15 years later,
yeah.
She has a stroke.
Oh.
Well, they distanced themselves from me.
Okay, through the years.
And that was fine because we didn't want to do that anymore. We knew the truth now. We knew that was all hoax.
You didn't want to make believe you're casting out demons and curing people of having one leg longer than the other.
Right, that was kind of sad, but I thought, no, I want to know the truth. And you know what? The truth is going to be what I need to know. I can't go along here in a make-believe fairy tale.
Right.
I did that too long without being a Christian. So anyhow, to bring it up to date now, 2 or 3 years ago, she gets a stroke.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I sat with her a few times when he had to work all night, and I watched her, and he would come home, and he would say to me, he doesn't know why the Lord isn't healing her. And he sits there with the hope that she has healed so many people, and why isn't the Lord healing her? And he will not hear me. He is like it.
Marianne, of the all the many people she healed, and she would say that God healed them through her.
Right.
How many of them were Down syndrome babies?
None.
How many of them were quadriplegics?
None.
How many of them had MS?
None.
How many of them had lung cancer?
None.
No, but there were people with headaches. And
cigarette smoking.
Yeah, and people who were, they had... They felt stiff in the morning, and then they wake up. They had
right.
a shoulder pain.
Depression.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, she actually thought she'd seen spirits and cats flying through the air at one place.
Yeah. It sounds like the story you're telling me, I've heard only 100 times over.
Really?
It's superstitious Christianity. It's Christians who are superstitious, and they confuse superstition for spirituality. They think it's maturity and spiritual Christian walk, and in reality, God is very saddened that Christians behave like cultist and superstitious people and attribute make-believe things to him. They think they're glorifying him.
It's so sad. I'm so sad that I was a part of it for maybe a year or two.
So now her husband is frustrated that God is not healing his wife.
And he's angry.
Oh.
And he won't hear me.
Now, that's the greatest tragedy of what you've said so far, because it is so completely wrong for Christians to get angry at God. And false teaching does have the tendency of bringing out anger toward God. In fact, a friend of ours went to a church in Denver that's supposed to be like a counterculture church. They call it the Scum of the Earth Church. And he heard that he went 2 weeks ago. And he heard the preacher say, do they have a preacher there? I don't know if it's just done in commercials or what. But they heard him say that sometimes you just got to be real with God, and you got to tell God you're mad at him. And and of course, that's called blasphemy.
I've heard that 100 times on Christian TV.
Yeah, that it's okay to be mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to yell at God. That's called blasphemy. That's not honoring and respecting God. You don't get mad at someone who is good and loving and righteous and merciful. When you get mad at the wrong person, that's pretty bad. Now, we just lost Marianne. We lost the line, but it was great to have her call. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. We, of course, have an entire Bible study on healings and miracles. We go through every miracle in the Bible. This talk show, Bob and Yart Live, we attempt to be very Bible-based. So what we teach about healings and miracles, it comes from the Bible, and the plot manuscript has chapter 10 in it, where we go through every single miracle in the Bible and analyze every single miracle. And I think you will be shocked to find out the reaction to God from those who witnessed the miracles and those who even received the miracles. You'll be shocked. And we have it in a Bible study album called Details Galore. Actually, that's what we call it. And also subtitled Miracles and Healings. So you can get that from us. In fact, during this telethon, anyone who orders our Bible studies downloadable, you could download them on the internet. We're applying that 100% toward our telethon goal. So you could get so many of our Bible study albums. We have the neatest albums on Genesis, Exodus. We go through so many of the books of the Bible, predestination and free will, healing and miracles. the plot, the overview of the whole Bible, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, how do you live the Christian life, the end times, the last days, just so many great Bible studies, the book of Romans, the Gospel of John. We have the entire book of Acts, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, Timothy, James and Jude, the book of Revelation. And I think you will love listening to these Bible studies. They're in-depth, verse-by-verse Bible studies, and you could become knowledgeable in the complete Word of God. You could do it on your own with the Bible, and that's a great way to do it. But God also gave teachers to the body of Christ. He gave us the gift of teaching so that we could study. And I've studied the Bible since 1973. So that's now 34 years, and you could benefit from our teaching resources here at Bob and Yurt Live, and also it'll help us toward our telethon goal of $20,000. And by the way, if anybody subscribes to our monthly services, we have the monthly Bible study albums we send out to people, $35 a month, and you get a different Bible study album on MP3 CD every month. Monthly videos on DVD, our Sunday sermons, and our BEL televised classics where you could watch the old TV show on DVD, then we take that subscription amount. Let's say you get a monthly Bible study album for $35 a month. We multiply it by 10 and apply that $350 to the telethon. So if one person calls us right now at 303-463-7789. That's our back door line into the studio. 303-463-7789. You can subscribe to the sermons or the Bible study albums or the videos. We have topical videos here at Bob in Your Life or our BEL televised classics. And then that amount times 10, that monthly amount, will go to our telethon. Hey, we have a protest coming up tomorrow with Planned Parenthood trying to build the largest abortion clinic in the country right here in Denver. This is going to be on Monaco, 4725 South Monaco, at 11:30 tomorrow morning, just before lunch. It'll be a neat time of fellowship. It's at the Weitz Company, W-E-I-T-Z. And, in fact, the Chicago Tribune today has a column where they're talking about the Denver protest. A similar campaign seems to be getting underway in Denver, where Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains plans to break ground in November on a $4.2 million headquarters and clinic. That's an abortion clinic where they kill children. Planned pickets protest are already staging home protests outside of the homes of one of the contractors. And so you're invited to come with us. This will be at their company headquarters at 4725 South Monaco. So, yeah, I think I'll be there too. Yeah, I'll come out. Lord willing, I'll be there. Like to see you. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school.